kindness you have shown to us. The hotel room has been wonderful. The gift basket was phenomenal. And just don't know how much that I myself appreciate this. And the love offering is more than generous. And we just appreciate you. It seems like since early on in my ministry, somehow or another, I've been affiliated with this church. Church camp, preached a few times here. And seems like, man, it was just yesterday, and I've been picking at Marky some this weekend, but he was just a little fella at camp toddling around. And, of course, Haley, she's going to graduate from UK, what, this week?
Friday.
That is hard to believe. But we are so thankful to be here tonight and also glad to have my old friend Roger with us tonight. Me and Roger, we were the most successful team and Sue Bennett history. Did you know that? We won more games in 60 years that Sue Bennett had won in those 60 years. You know why? They hadn't had a team in 60 years. And we won two games by forfeit. Because they didn't play, they played ineligible players. I was the best right tackle they'd had in 60 years. That soon was eclipsed the next year when another guy came in. But anyway, we are glad to be here tonight. We hope to be a blessing to you and encouragement. If you have your Bibles, open up, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We're so thankful tonight for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Brother John and I was kind of jostling back and forth earlier about perhaps who was going to be preaching first, and I have to say, I think it was obvious that the Lord was in him preaching first. Appreciate his message. One thing I love about Brother John is even when he's bold, he's gentle. And I'm thankful for that about him. And I'm thankful for everyone here tonight. And I hope this is a blessing to you. God willing, tonight we're going to be preaching about what is the gospel. There's a lot of confusion about what the gospel is. And certainly we need to understand the fundamental of what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ something that you do? Is it a work that you have done? Is it one of the ordinances? Is it baptism? The Lord's Supper? Is it going out and somehow or another earning your way into heaven? Now, I want to qualify what I'm getting ready to say biblically tonight, that we know that the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. I am not preaching to you tonight a dead, lifeless gospel. A dead, lifeless gospel will not work fruit in your life. It will not bring about righteousness in your life. You don't do it to get righteous, but God does a work in your heart and life, and he imputes his righteousness to you. And as a result of him working in your heart and life, as a result of him saving you, then he changes you, and you are now a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But how and where do you, or how do you get to that place of being a new creature? Well, I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, there's some things tonight I want to say that we're not going to get into. We will not get into the doctrine of regeneration. I'm not here for that tonight. That's God's work. That's what God does. He works in people's hearts and life. He's the one that brings someone to that place and brings them from death unto life. No, what we're going to talk about tonight, what we're going to preach about, is what does the Bible say is the gospel? And we find this right here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. The Bible says, starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I want us to notice tonight, first of all, in verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren. Who is he talking to? Well, you look at the beginning and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you find that he's writing to the church of God, which is Corinth. Now, I want you to understand, he's not talking about the denomination. There wasn't a whole bunch of denominations when this was written. You had the Lord's New Testament church. You didn't have all these splinters and all these schisms and all these problems, folks. So understand, whenever you were talking about a church, you were talking about the Lord's church, God's church. So he was writing to a particular church, and he was writing to them about particular problems. What were some of those problems? Some of those problems were disunity, jealousy. Some of it was just out and out sin, where there was a young man having some kind of affair with his stepmom. They started talking about dealing with the sin, church discipline. Then he started talking about all these other things that ought to be going on in church, worship, serving God. Then he talked about how that as a church, they were to be bonded together and one in Christ. Then we go through all those things with other things too, mind you. We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul makes it clear. It says, moreover, brethren. Who's he talking to? We've already asked that once, right? He's talking to the church of God at Corinth. But let's get even a little bit more specific here. Notice what he calls them. Moreover, brethren. He's talking to saved folks. Now, just think about this for a moment. Isn't it nuts, or seemingly nuts, that he is explaining to saved people what the gospel is? If anyone ought to know, it ought to be God's people, right? So as he's writing, he's saying, moreover, brethren, you that are saved, you that have been washed, you that have been covered in the blood of Christ, I declare unto you, the gospel. The word gospel here is talking about the good news. The good news in particular of Jesus Christ. That he came, he died on the cross for sinners, and that not only did he die on the cross for sinners, but for their sins. And that is, he was on the cross for their sins. He was buried. And then what? He rose again. You see, folks, if all we have is a Jesus Christ that went to the cross, but he stayed there, how is he any different than the thief on the cross? He's not. If all we have is a Jesus Christ that went to the cross and then was buried, then how is he any different than Muhammad? How is he any different than Buddha? Don't they have these graves today where they can go and they can exonerate and worship the leaders, these dead men that are the heads of these religions? Sure they do. But understand something tonight, folks. The one that we worship, the one that hung on the cross, the one that died for our sins, the one that is buried, understand he is no longer in the grave. He has come up out of that grave victorious. You see, we have something to tell that no one else has to tell. We have a living Savior. We have one that is victorious. Whenever we sing the song, and man, thank God for that song that we sang earlier the first time around, Victory in Jesus. Do you really think about that song? Or is it just words? Oh, victory in Jesus. my Savior forever. That's the way we sing sometimes, right? Kind of like when we all get to heaven. Man, whenever we sing victory in Jesus, I'll be all victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood because of Him, because of His work. Not only that He died, not only that He's buried, but because He overcame death, hell, and the grave, I am victorious because of what Christ has done for me. So the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 1 that he is talking to saved people. We find that he is talking about the gospel. And then notice, as he continues on, he says, which I preached unto you. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He said, I preached this gospel to you. I want to ask you a question. Now tonight I know that if you're here, you have heard the gospel of Christ preached with these ears. Okay? I know that you've heard with your physical ears, but my question for you tonight is this. Have you heard the gospel message? I'm talking about really heard it. With spiritual ears, ears in which they've been cleaned out by God and they've been worked. And you've received it. He said, I preach this gospel to you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Look at verse 2. By which also are ye saved. Now for just a second, I want us to consider some things that are not the gospel. What are some things that are not the gospel? We talked about them a little bit while ago. A lot of people think church membership is the gospel. I'm going to tell you right now from experience, being a member of a church will not save you. It can't save you. Matter of fact, you look at Judas Iscariot, whenever he was one of the 12, Jesus Christ looked at him and said, you're a devil. He was a devil from the beginning. So being a church member, quote unquote, didn't save him. Being an apostle didn't save him. What are some other things that won't save? Look with me, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Notice as well, continuing on, but that ye be perfectly joined together, and the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions or problems or arguing among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Notice, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, I want you to notice some things here. First of all, we're going to find here that the Apostle Paul, he says, now listen, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul. In other words, you're my follower. Some of Cephas, that's a word for, or the name of Peter. Some of Apollos. Some saying of Christ. He asked the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? A couple of things to think about. First of all, he's saying, listen, I can't save you because I wasn't crucified for you. Let me say this tonight, folks. Some preacher, if you're here tonight and saved, there was not a preacher that saved you. I want to say this again. If you're here tonight, and you are indeed saved by the grace of God, you were not saved by a preacher. Just like the Apostle Paul didn't save anyone. Apollos didn't save. Peter didn't save. If you're saved, you were saved by Jesus Christ and Him alone. But also notice this. He continues on and he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Why is that? Because he didn't want people going around saying, listen, that he baptized in his own name. And another reason, which is pretty simple here, man, because baptism doesn't save. He says, listen, I did baptize Crispus and Gaius. And yes, I did baptize Stephanus and those of his house. But he said, however, I don't know of anyone else that I baptized. Now, the Apostle Paul was a great soul winner. He was someone that loved people, he loved the souls of men, and he preached the gospel. So, if baptism is what saves, what he's saying is, I thank God that my ministry has not been very fruitful. We don't see that at all in Paul's life. Now, let me say this too. Paul did not get proud. He did not get lifted up. He did not over and over again go out and carve little notches in his soul-winning belt. But you know what he did do? He preached Christ. You see, baptism doesn't save. Paul's making that clear. He said, listen, Christ sent me not to baptize, but notice, but to preach the gospel. He's making the difference between the two. Romans chapter 6 tells us that baptism is a picture of the gospel, but it is not the gospel itself. So, we've seen that no other can save outside of Christ. We've seen that baptism doesn't save. We have seen, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, says, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not works. So what is the gospel of Christ? Back to chapter 15. The gospel of Christ is simply this. And notice some of the things he tells us. Verse 2, by which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, unless your belief is empty, which is no good. For, or because, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In other words, he's preaching the same gospel that God imparted to him. How that Christ died for our sins. Just for a moment, I want you to listen. And I want you to pay attention to what is being said here by the Apostle Paul. Notice that again. How that Christ died for our sins. Notice the emphasis here. The emphasis is on no one else other than Christ. Christ started the work. He started the work actually before eternity passed. Then, whenever in time he was born, he fulfilled the law in all points. He willingly went to the cross of Calvary. And he died, notice, for our sins. Paul is including himself in this. His sins. But as I'm reading this here tonight, and as a born again child of God, I can say, and my sins as well. And if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you can say the same thing. But let me ask you something tonight, dear friend. Can you say this with confidence? Do you know that you're lost? Do you know that you're a sinner in the hands of a righteous God, one who is thrice holy, one that loves His creation enough, that loves His people enough, that He left the splendor of heaven, came to dwell among sinful man, and willingly bore the sins of the world upon His shoulder. Oh, tonight I am thankful that as an 18-year-old young man, God came to me and saved me, a religious hypocrite. I am thankful that the same God who saved a religious hypocrite chastised me as a young man out of the will of God and brought me back into fellowship and brought me back into His will and called me to preach and has allowed me the opportunity to tell others of Christ and what He has done. But notice also how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Notice this too. This is according to the Scriptures. What the Bible says. Not the fanciful beliefs of some man that came up with things. Nothing that you or I or anyone else has imagined, but it is according to the Scriptures, according to God's Word. Then notice, and that He was buried. And that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Something else the gospel is not, folks, and Brother John touched on this a little bit. The gospel of Christ is not the doctrine of God's sovereignty. It's not the doctrines of grace. The gospel of Christ is not the doctrine of the Lord's New Testament church. The gospel of Christ is not about the Lord's Supper. The gospel of Christ is not baptism. The gospel of Christ is not the return of Christ. Even though we need to understand all those things are important, but if we don't have the gospel right, then we've got everything else wrong. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, the Apostle Paul knew exactly what the gospel was because he had experienced the gospel. But you know what? Apparently there were some people that didn't really get some things. So he was trying to disciple them and help them to understand better. You may be here tonight and you're saved. And maybe you've been confused. Maybe you've had people to tell you this and tell you that. Not giving you scripture for it. But then you see what the Bible says. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Click. Here it is. This is the truth. Now what are you going to do with it? You know the gospel? Are you going to hide it to yourself? Are you going to take it and maybe say, well, I need to become a theologian. I need to get better acquainted with this. I need to understand this. I need to understand. Listen, the first step is you know the gospel. You're saved. Now, as you were saved, you pray for the Spirit of God to empower you, to embolden you, to give you a witness by the grace of God, and that He would empower you to be able to take that gospel to your friends, to your loved ones. Several months back, I got convicted about some things that I'd done years ago, some people that I had offended, and I knew I had offended. And I knew that my testimony was nothing in their sight. And I prayed that God would give me the grace, He'd give me the power, give me the ability to make some things right. So I wrote up an apology. And I sent it to these men. And as sincerely as I knew how, I asked them to forgive me. Then I told them, "Fellas, I have done wrong by not declaring to you the gospel of Christ. And God gave me the ability to witness to these men and to tell them of the power of the gospel of Christ. I don't know if God used it in the sense of saving anyone, but I do know this. My conscience is clear before God. There will not be blood on my hands. I know the gospel, the blood of Christ is clear of my hands whenever it comes to the people that I've preached to at Appomattox, Virginia. I know that my hands are clean of the people that I ministered to in Nancy, Kentucky. But the thing is that bothers me, and the thing that scares me so much, is all those other people that I didn't declare the gospel to when I had opportunity. I can't save anyone, but I could have told them about the one that can." I want you to look with me very quickly in the book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8. You see, a lot of people have the idea that missionary work and evangelism type work is only for the missionaries. That it's only for those who are called to go to Africa, those who are called to go to Brazil, Guatemala, the regions beyond, or their pastor. But I want you to look here in the book of Acts in chapter 1, starting verse 8. "But," talking to the church of Jerusalem, "but ye," remember the word "ye" there is plural. Basically, we could say y'all, right? He's speaking hillbilly here. "But y'all shall receive power." Talking to that church. "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward him," you know, I can imagine this. Here they were, pointing up, amazed. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" Why are you amazed at this? Why are you just standing there? As I read this, I can almost imagine that basically what's going on here, don't just stand there, go tell someone. Let me tell you, folks, we don't just need to sit around. We don't need to get in our holy huddles here at church. We need to take this glorious gospel of Christ, and we need to proclaim it to a lost and a dying world. I want to ask you a question tonight. And I'm asking you as an individual. Number one, are you saved? Number two, have you trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that He died for you? Not that He died for the world, not that He died for sinners, but that He died for you. And then, have you turned from your sin? Have you repented? Have you turned from your sin? Have you turned from yourself? Have you turned and trusted Christ and His finished work? See, folks, the gospel of Christ is not that complicated. It's simply that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again for sinners, according to what the Bible teaches us. Don't get confused. Don't get confused by the cults. Don't get confused by well-meaning, well-intentioned brethren. Take what the Bible says. The gospel of Christ is the finished work of Him and Him alone. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, trust Him tonight. Believe on Him, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the opportunity to be here. God, I pray that if there be one here tonight that's lost, I pray that You do a work in their heart. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. And may all that's done be done for Your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother Mark.